up to it. And I just thank him for it. All right. Well, is this off or on? Okay. Okay. Let me get to... We're going to be reading through about the little maid. And 2 Kings 5, 1 to 2 is going to be... I'm going to read this and then I'll go into the story and this that I found. It's pretty neat. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians on one of their raids had carried off a little maid from the land of Israel, and she worked in the servants of Naaman's wife. Okay. Our introduction, and I hope I pronounced this right. It's Yuri and Gangrin was born on March 9th, 1934. In the Soviet Union, on April 12th, 1961, Yuri Gagarin became the first human being to enter space. He orbited the Earth, and on a re-entry became an instant national hero, an international celebrity. His story was told worldwide shortly thereafter. A Soviet teacher was passing Gagarin's flight, the seeming absence of God in space. The technology powers of the USSR, the invincible of world-class struggles and liberation from the now disproved faith in God. As she spoke, a small child raised her hand and spoke up. "Please, miss, my God is a little bit higher." And whatever the story of Uri, however you pronounce his name, Gagarin, is told, so is the story of this little child. God works through the witnesses of faithful children. So we know, now turn to another faithful witness, the little maid. And we already read 2 Kings 1 through 2. The context is set. Ahab was dead, succeeded in the turn by his wicked son, Asherah and Jeroboam. Elisha had been taken to heaven. Elijah was now God's prophet in Israel. Although Israel and Syria were at peace, Naaman, a mighty Syria general, would lead raiding parties into Israel, during which the capture of a little maid and forced her into slavery within his own home, serving his wife. The little maid noticed. She noticed that Naaman, there was something curious about the person. He had leprosy. The banquets, things that they did, I would guess that he probably had to isolate. He couldn't be in the same room because leprosy was pretty contagious. And so the little maid, she noticed it. And so she went to Naaman one time and she says, "You know, in our country, there is a prophet. There is a gentleman called Elijah, and he can heal." And so Naaman decided that he would go. and see what this was all about. Okay, let me get... And, you know, she could have... I'm going to go back a little bit. She could have gloated of this guy that captured her. She could have wished him to die. You know, she could have had all these thoughts of things that were not so good. But she chose to tell him that there was a possible healing. The Naaman would be healed. Amazing words. What do they reveal? In the midst of bitter passion, grief, the little maid had found forgiveness, peace, and healing. No longer was Naaman that wicked general whose soldiers had forcibly kidnapped her into a life of slavery. She now saw Naaman as a victim needing God's help. God's intervention, just as the little maid wished for God's deliverance for herself. 2 Kings 5:4. Naaman went to the Syrian king and told him the words of the little maid. The King James Version translates this as thus and thus. Said the maid, that is of the land of Israel, thus and thus. We may wonder what the little maid said. What does she talk about? Elijah's miracles, Elijah on the mountain, Mount Carmel, God's power to raise the dead. Whatever the little maid said, her witness was shared. And with Ben-Hadad, the pagan king of Syria, who heard of the power of the God of Israel, words once spoken can never be taken back. A generous and faithful testimony once spoke can ripple through society and reach the ears even of national leaders who may never otherwise hear the gospel. The little maid never personally met Ben-Hadad, but her faithful filled testimony reached the ears. Unfortunately, her witness got lost in translation, for the king of Syria thought the little maid was referring to Naaman, not to Elijah, but to the king of Israel. So he sent Naaman with gifts to the king of Israel, asking him to heal Naaman or his deadly disease. The king of Israel in return sent Naaman to Elijah. Elijah sent out his servant to tell Naaman to wash 7 times in the Jordan. You know, it's kind of interesting how the king sent to Elijah, and Elijah wouldn't go out to meet. And that's interesting. Doesn't sometimes God use other people and other means to heal us and to do things? Yeah. Proud Naaman was set up. Where were not the rivers in Damascus cleaner than the Jordan? Anybody been to the Jordan? I didn't. It must have been a pretty dirty or muddy, or maybe it was the rainy season or something and it was real muddy. I don't know. He intended to ignore the prophet's command, but his servant wisely consulted him to to at least try. After all, wouldn't Naaman have undertaken the most heroic of tasks and paid another price for healing? Naaman was confused. Surely God wanted something special for him. Something so difficult it would be spoken of for generations. Yet the commander for Naaman to be cleansed seemed to be just too easy. What God requires was not the fulfillment of a difficult task, but a demonstration of trusting obedience. There's that word obedience again. A lot of us don't like it. I know it gets frustrating when we talk about obedience because it can really, you know, we feel like somebody's forcing us to do something. And really, if we look at it, obedience is a way that we're doing it because we love our Heavenly Father. And we love His Ten Commandments. And we love who He is and what He's about and what He can do for us. Likewise, today, God speaks, not extravagantly sacrifices, but for us to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God. Malachi 6:8. So Naaman went down into the Jordan. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What happened the seventh time? He was cleansed. Imagine the sheer joy when Naaman realized God had indeed given him the gift of life. Isn't that kind of just like in our lesson today? We have that choice. Naaman had that choice to choose basically life or death. And there really is only one choice, and that's life, even though we have two choices. The honor of that death-dealing disease was gone. Naaman arose from the waters, a new man. In the Hebrew, the little maid is referring to into 2 Kings 5, 2-4, as Naara Ahe, and Naaman comes up out of the water as a Naara, however you pronounce that Greek, sorry, like the flesh of a little child. So it was just, you know, you think about that, it must have been just like a newborn baby is what they say and what Scripture, I think, refers it to. So that it was, must have been pink, kind of reddish, beautiful. I mean, that's amazing, you know. I look at my own skin and it's like, well, there's lots of scars, there's lots of things. It'd be nice to have that again. When we get to heaven, we'll have it. The masculine from Naaman's expression with God parallels that of the little maid. Although enemies in human terms, both were caught in despair. Circumstances, both were facing separation from their loved ones. And both need a both. And both needed and both received the healing touch of God. In the grace can heal burdens and restore former enemies into His kingdom. Do we ever look at, you know, we circumstances in life, friends, family members, husbands, wives, we can become enemies. But through God and through surrendering to Him and looking at the positive of each other and how they can have an impact in our life, we need to surrender those negative thoughts or those negative feelings to God so that we can have that reconciliation with people and with God. Naaman rushed back to Elijah's home, his body healed, his fears revealed, his spirit humbled, his hope restored, his heart converted. From now on, he would be a worshiper of the true God, and so asked for 2 mules. Now this was interesting. 2 mules of earth. So when he prayed to the God of Israel at home in Damascus, he would be kneeling on the soil from Israel. Elijah recognized Naaman as a fellow God worshiping, thus transcended the Israelites' hatred of Syria. Naaman, for his past, and responded go in peace. Naaman now had the assurance of God's forgiveness in verse 1. We first met Naaman as a commander of the army of the king of Syria. A great man, a mighty man of valor. But in verse 19, we see a new creature. Isn't that amazing how God can take our character and change it into something beautiful? Amen. And, you know, I can reflect in my own life that there's some times in my own life, you know, you surrender and you realize how God really can make us a new creature and really can change our heart and be servants for people and love people and want to be their friend, not their enemy. And that's what's important. A diseased man is now a healthy man. A dying man is now a living man. A man facing separation from his family is now looking forward to a long life together. A pagan is now a God-fearer. A man of war is now a man of peace. And all because of what? A little girl that spoke up and witnessed and was evangelist. I mean, she was evangelist right there. She witnessed to Naaman and the family. And I think if I remember right the story, afterwards they all prayed together. And I'm kind of remember it as the little friends. I remember my dad always reading the Little Friends book for kids. I always remember that story. It was a great story. But we need to always be looking and how we can touch somebody's life. And I know Craig has told us stories of how you've had people just come up and ask you and start talking about. And that's great. And it's scary sometimes to talk about God because we never know how people are going to react. And I know just this week we finished a project and I forget what happened. And I was like, praise the Lord, you know. And the guy kind of looked at me kind of funny and walked off. But you know what? Who cares? At least I was giving praise to God. You know, and hopefully, maybe the time is over with. Maybe he'll ask me more questions. I don't know. That's in God's hands. But we need to start stepping up. And I'm just pointing at myself. I need to start stepping up more and being more of a witness and learn how to evangelize. And I'm hoping, that's one of my other things is I would like to do is get with the pastor and try to learn more about evangelism and stuff. I don't know a lot about it, and I'd like to know more. And that's what our church should be about, is evangelizing and learning how each one of us can be evangelized and be an individual out there and helping people. Anyway, the final of this is kind of what I just talked about, was a child and families and how we need to respond when we see things and how can we help people. And that's what I look at it this way. The first commandment is what? Love the Lord your God with all your soul, your heart, your mind. And what's the second one? Love your neighbor as yourself. And if we don't know how to love God, and we don't understand what that first commandment is, then how can we love our neighbor and how can we love ourselves? And that's important. And I love this story because it just really depicts how we need, no matter what, where we are, what happens to us, we can spread God's gospel. Our closing song is 559. Thank you. stand, please. Now thanks we all our God, guarded hand, voice who wonder things have done. From our mother's arm have blessed Dear Lord, thank you so much that we can be here and that we can worship you and that we can have our freedom to worship you in this country, Lord. And we just pray and thank you so much and help us to remember the little maid that no matter what the circumstances we're in, we always need to praise God and we always need to help the people. And that we need to be witnesses, Lord. And we just ask you so much that you'll be with all of us, each and every one of us, as we go our separate ways this week. And we just ask for your Holy Spirit to be with each and every one of us. And thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.